The recording that you are about to hear is one of Mrs. Murig Morris's control power speaking through her in a trance state approximately, so far as we can remember, some 25 years ago. It is recorded on Columbia Record DX265.
Children, grant unto us thy blessing upon our work, that it shall at all times be for the honour and glory of thy name. Amen.
Children, this great truth of communion and the knowledge of the Bible has given to your religion not only a blind faith, but a fact, not only a belief, but a knowledge that man himself is a spiritual being, that a so-called death he discards the terrestrial garment, and therefore soars into another world of existence. But the key that opens out the wider beauty of that world is dependent upon the man, the true man himself. That is, through his character, that by thought, word, and deed, he shall be known. And because of that finer body, he shall dwell in that sphere of light, understanding more and more of the great knowledge of that creative power. There may be some of you who do not believe in this truth of the continuity of life. You do not believe in the actual controlling of a physical instrument. And yet, you are here today, where through the minds of men, this wonderful invention has been brought about. Where, through the waves, the sound waves, through the etheric waves, you are able to record the voice of man. Do you not think that in the ages of the past, had they but been told of this invention so commonplace amongst you, would they not have said it would be but of the devil, and a great number of people would have disbelieved? Today, you, with your knowledge, are placed in exactly the same position. There are a great number of people who say that it is an impossibility. There are two others who say it is of the devil, because they do not understand. But remember this, it is in the nature of a prophecy. But it is because I know of its truth that I speak. Just as you today are able, not only through this invention, but by others that are indispensable to you, where you are able to commune from one part of your world to the other, so in the future time, death will have lost its sting, for survival and communion will not be as it is today through a physical instrument, but will be brought about by instruments through the inventive mind of man. The key that will unlock that knowledge is to understand more and more of the ether, because there are various grades of ether, and the mind which vibrates at a higher rate of vibration than is understood at the moment vibrates through a finer grade of ether, and therefore it is only through the knowledge of those who have passed, finding those instruments attuned to receive the message, that communion is understood to a greater extent today. Therefore, be open in your mind. Do not cast aside these things that come before you, but seek that ye may find. And when you have found, know that it is a good and a wise man who stops not after the belief of another. For you are just beginning to open out into this greater world of reality. You are in a world relative to that reality. You are going to open out to the greater reality through the seeking. Therefore, do as we would bid you in this great cooperation. For truly it shall be a great and glorious verity, not only materially, but spiritually, in the great knowledge of the abiding love of the Father.
The recording that you are about to hear is of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle lecturing on spiritualism, and it was recorded about 25 years ago on his master's voice, disc number C1983.
There are two questions which my friends continually ask me. One is how I came to write Sherlock Holmes, and the other is why I became a spiritualist and about spiritualism generally. With regard to Sherlock Holmes, I was, when I wrote it, a young doctor and had been educated in a very severe and critical medical school of thought, especially coming under the influence of Dr. Bell of Edinburgh, who had most remarkable powers of observation. He prided himself that when he looked at a patient, he could tell not only their disease, but very often their occupation and place of residence. Reading some detective stories, I was struck by the fact that their results were obtained in nearly every case by chance. I accept, of course, Edgar Allan Poe's splendid stories, which, though only three in number, are a model for all time. I thought I would try my hand at writing a story where the hero would treat crime as Dr. Bell treated disease, and where science would take the place of chance. The result was Sherlock Holmes, and I confess that result has surprised me very much. For I learn that many schools of detection, working in France, in Egypt, in China, and elsewhere, have admittedly founded their system upon that of Holmes. To many, he seems to be a real person, and I have had numerous letters from time to time addressed to him from all parts of the world, and the most quaint requests, including what was virtually an offer of marriage. His autograph, also, is much in demand. Now as to the more serious subject. The result of my medical education in the days of Huxley and Haeckel was to make me agnostic in matters of religion, and certainly I had no belief that we survived death. I've always, of course, kept my mind open to new ideas, for the day a man's mind shuts is the day of his mental death. In 1887, some curious psychic experiences came my way, and especially I was impressed by the fact of telepathy, which I proved for myself by experiments with a friend. The question then arose, if two incarnate minds could communicate, is it possible for a discarnate one to communicate with one that is still in the body? For more than 20 years, I examined the evidence and came finally to the conclusion beyond all doubt that such communication was possible. I could give hundreds of illustrations to prove my point, but I can only refer you to the literature of the subject. I took my proofs from actual personal experiments, as well as from the work of such great men as Sir William Crookes, Myers, Dr. Russell Wallace, and others. The full importance of the matter did not come home to me until the war, when all the world was asking, where are our dead bodies? And getting such unsatisfactory answers, both from the churches and from science. Then it was that my wife and I felt that our knowledge on the subject was of enormous importance, and that we could answer this universal question. Twelve years of our lives have now been spent in trying to impart our knowledge to others, in the course of which we have traveled 75,000 miles and we have addressed 250,000 of people. The work has now been too much for me. It has weakened my heart and I am temporarily disabled. But perhaps by this record I could say a word to a new and worldwide audience. That word is that there is nothing in this new knowledge to destroy the foundations of your present belief, but, on the contrary, that it adds a knowledge and a feeling of security such as no other system of philosophy has been able to give. The basis of all religions is that we live after death. And the proving of the truth of this basis is, to my mind, the most essential work in this age of perplexity and materialism, when good and earnest men honestly doubt whether death is not the end. People ask, what do you get from spiritualism? The first thing you get is that it absolutely removes all fear of death. Secondly, it bridges death for those dear ones whom we may lose. We need have no fear that we are calling them back, for all that we do is to make such conditions as experience has taught us will enable them to come if they wish, and the initiative lies always with them. They have many times told us that they could not come back if it were not God's will, and that it makes them intensely happy to be able to help and to comfort us, to tell us about their happy life in that world to which we are, in our turn, destined to come. People say that only trivialities come through. In effecting recognition, this has some truth. If, for example, some dear one returned to me, he could not prove his identity to me by discussing high matters. But he could do so by reminding me of past private experiences known only to himself and to me. But in contact with higher spirit people, we do get lofty religious teaching and most inspiring knowledge. The press, unfortunately, usually only notices spiritualism when fraud or folly is in question. Fraud and folly do exist, as in everything. But the press does not mention, as a rule, the thousands of cases where consolation and proof have been brought to suffering hearts. We bring important facts, new facts, which will revolutionize the whole thought of the human race, both in religion and in science. It is the great question of the future, and it will end by making religion a real living thing, so that all doubt of God's goodness or of the destiny of mankind will be forever banished. since we shall each be in actual touch with what is higher than ourselves. And the communion of saints will at last be an established fact.
I don't know what she's talking about. She talks so quickly, but she's as Scotch as you ever saw anybody Scotch. And she says to me, yes, well, I'll talk slow so you can understand. Will you tell her that it is Annie, and I want to come back because I am bringing Mama back with me? You see, she's bringing a huge family link here. Now, I'm going to say this to you, my dear. Have you been to the castle at all? Been to Scotland to the castle? You have, haven't you? I'm asking her. Let's ask her first. Be fair. You've been, have you? Did you just go as a visitor to look at it? Oh, I see. All right. Because she is telling me here, my dear, you were fascinated by this thing, but you felt something. You felt not only the castle, but you imagined what it was like when it was, you know what I mean? And she's laughing about it. She says, my dear, it wasn't imagination, you know. What you felt really took place in that place. And she wants you to realize that you will go again to see the castle, but inside this time, my dear. Not just to look, but you'll go inside. And she tells me, my dear, that she wants you to prepare for a much fuller life than you've had. It's been all work, all problems, all sickness. And she says she's laughing with you now because she says you were going up the road on Tuesday, and she said to herself, if my legs don't hurry, I'll have to go to the doctor. Now she says, my dear, you don't need a doctor for your legs. All you need is to put them up on the mantel shelf for 10 minutes before you go out. Can you do that? Stand on your head nearly. Oh, well, never mind. Try, my dear. Because she says her blood wants to go back. You see, the legs are getting so heavy, she says, they're affecting the head here. And she says, unless you turn yourself upside down for a little while to drain it back, you'll find this thing worrying you, and you will want to go to the doctor. So if you can't go up to the mantel shelf, go a little bit lower, so long as you get there, and do something about it, will you? And incidentally, my dear, she shows me a very lovely modern home here, modern house. And she says, I want to get her away from the old things, get her into the modern things, so that she will feel that there's very little to do. She's had so much to do in the past. So you're moving, my dear. Oh, yes. Yes, dear, I will tell her that too. And she says, my dear, do not take old memories with you. And she's talking about little things that you've, what she called, hoarded for years. Let them all go, my dear. Go light, you'll start light, and you'll enjoy life. So do that, will you? And I want to bring a gentleman here who I'm going to say A proper country boy. The smell of cows with him. The smell of, oh, I don't know what it is. Smells terribly bad. Well, dear, it's good for the vegetables. I'm sure it is. The smell is dreadful. He said he was happiest with the cows. But if they made all that smell, no wonder they left that in the open. It's dreadful with him. And he says, to tell you, my dear, that all his life he worked among the animals. But you will be surprised to know that Nelly, his pig, is with him. Enormous thing. Oh, big. Yes, I know, my dear, I'm telling her. Very large pig. It started off being like the rest of them, then became his pet, larger than him, very much larger. And he is laughing here. He says, because, my dear, you may find that when you love animals, dogs and cats, and they go, you've lost them. But, my dear, I have to tell you, he's numbered all his animal friends with him, and they are with him. So remember that, will you? Because there are many animals in your family that you have shed tears over, but they're all there waiting for you. So don't keep worrying about them. They'll be there, and you'll have them, and you'll love them. And I would like to say this to you, my dear, that if you can possibly rest for the next 2 or 3 weeks and get yourself quieter in yourself, then you'll be all right. Will you do that? Yes, I have 2 mothers here. I don't know how many mothers you've had, but I have 2 here. And I must say to you, for mothers, they're young mothers, but I know one is a mother-in-law, because, yes, all right, dear, because she says, well, she wouldn't know me as a mother that way. I'm the extra mother, so that's the in-law mother. And I also want to bring a William Harris to you. William Harris. Now, 1937, this William, a very big striking man, used to ride a bicycle, a heavier pair. And he's telling me here that he'd only just started enjoying this thing. And he had a heart attack at the side of it. He didn't have an accident. He just had a heart attack with the excitement of going out on a joint with it. And he's laughing about it now. He says, you know, I started the wrong time of life. Tell her to do none of those silly things now, but take it calm, enjoy life, and know that we're helping her. Will you, dear? You have an anniversary on Monday. You have 2 in May. You have 1. All right, Nelly, I'll tell her. Nelly says, actually, Easter is the whole family's anniversary, because there are 5 of them coming to you. And the Rosie Denderum, I think it is, a big red bush. There's a lady here says, give her the dark red one and tell her that will let her know how much love we can give into that beautiful colour, and she will know that we're with her. So look after yourself, will you? And God bless you. Madam, sitting there, dear. Yes, dear. Yes. Can I come there to you, my dear? I have a gentleman there in front of you, and I look at him. I know for a very long time he suffered. He was ill for a long time. He seems to be bringing a great deal of breathing problem with him. I can't breathe very well with him, you know. I'm like this business with him. And as he stands in front of me, he's small for a gentleman, but he would have, I should think, standing fully, been medium built in the body. Now, as I bring him back there to you, my dear, I want you to know from him, we have not forgotten to help you. We're helping you a great deal, but you still like to go your own way, my dear. And whilst we will work with you, we want you to know that there is so much that we have got to do with you and for you. You understand? They're going to help you. He's shouting at me, are you deaf in one ear, dear, or is there a slight deafness? It's only slight, though. Your ear hasn't gone. Because he says she'll hear you, but try to talk slow. And I want you to know, my dear, you are not deaf. It is a lot of nervous tension with you. Soon as anything happens, you bottle up. You know what I mean? So just realize that we are trying to help you. Now, my dear, he brings me 2 sisters to you. 2 sisters very close together who followed each other to the spirit world. One going very quickly, getting ready, shall I say, the family to bury her, she says, and the other one following me soon after. So the two are here together. I would like to say this to you, my dear. You have a very serious worry, but they both laugh loud and as much as to say, tell her, my dear, make no worry about anything. We will see that all the help she wants will be given to her now. Not waiting any longer. They will help you. All right, Fred. There's Fred here, dear. I have Fred sending his love to you. Mr. Baker, do you remember Mr. Baker at all? Little Baker, all right, John. John Baker, think of him because he comes there to you. And I would like to bring a boy, khaki uniform, and with a jeep with him, which, as he says, this went everywhere with me. This boy must have gone right to the campaign, because he comes very close there to you, and I would like to bring a Harry to you, please. Harry, loud and strong. Tell her that only Harry would know exactly what she would like us to do. We will do it before the summer is out. You will be all right. So stop worrying, will you, dear? As the roses bloom, so you will have realized that two little holidays that will be arranged for you will bring great satisfaction to you, and you will enjoy yourself. So stop worrying. God bless you, will you? This gentleman... Oh! I must come to that gentleman. Yes, please. I must come to there, please, will you? Because it's a gentleman very tall standing behind you. He has no hair on top, and he says he's got it all and I've got none. And he's very tall. The power with this man, very brainy man when he was on the earth, because he is telling me, you know, I use my brain far more than I ought to have and let my body get tired. He was a man that simply passed through the spirit world, exhausted in the body. But the mind was still ticking over. Music, great deal of it around you. And I want to say, he would say this to you, that whatever you may feel is necessary to be done this year in your life, do it now, will you? Because he says you'll never get the chance again. The plans are good. Do it your way, and it will turn out very well. He laughs, he says, to tell you, you may argue and say, well, my plans are all right, but I'm a bit old. He says, give him another 20 years, and he'll know he's doing the right thing, and he'll be all right, will you? And know that you're getting a lot of help. There's a lady put her arms right around you now, and she says, do tell him he's not alone. I am here looking after him, and I want him only to be happy, and give him my love. God bless you. God bless you, Fred.
Miss Harriet hears the spirit people speaking to her much more clearly than she does me, but I'm sure that you won't mind us being just a minute or two late, and we'll forgive her because of the evening that she's given for us. Thank you very much. Now I will ask her secretary if he will give us his notices.
To those of you who have received the messages tonight, will you kindly contact Mr. Rowlands, that's the gentleman with the light there, and he's been taking your message down in shorthand. Give him your name and address and he will send it on in the course of a few days through post. He's got his little box there tonight, and if you feel you'd like to give him something for it, or the message for doing it, then it is for the SNU Benevolent Fund. It's a benevolent fund run by the Spiritualist National Union, and every so often it's opened and it's forwarded on.
Was it a discussion group on Tuesday?
It's Easter Tuesday, next Tuesday, but there will still be a discussion group here at 7:45. On Wednesday at 7:30, the Healing Guild, and on Thursday at 7:30, we hold our evening of clairvoyance. I would like to extend an invitation to you to come along to our Thursday meeting. It's quite a little informal, happy family gathering. And a week on Thursday, April the 25th, we shall be having a visit of Mrs. Hammond of Newbury. I believe this lady is of Scandinavian origin, I believe. But anyway, she's coming, and she will be with us on Thursday, April 25th at 7:30. Mrs. Hammond of Newbury. Now, next week it should have been Mrs. Winter of London, but I have written her today because she writes and informs me that she had very ill health since the beginning of September. She's been in hospital for a serious operation, and she's going in again very shortly for another one. I have written to her today on your behalf, and I have extended to her best wishes, and trust the time will not be too far distant when she'll be well again. That causes a vacancy, so to adopt a little bit of humour, the twins will be on the rostrum next week. The two L's, Mr. Lawrence and Mr. Lyons. There's a cup of tea in the library afterwards, if anyone cares to join in. And I'm going to ask Mr. Grove if all the psychic news have gone.
No.
There's some psychic news on sale, and there is also the library. Also, before I forget, I'll remind the members of the committee that there'll be a committee meeting next Saturday at 7:30. Now, Mrs. Grover on the rostrum here, one of our vice presidents, has got the tickets for Mr. Joseph Benjamin, who will be visiting the church here on Saturday, June the 1st. Now, these meetings, as some of you have been to, you know, that you get really crowded out with them. And it is by ticket only, members of the church, 2 shillings, non-members and friends, 2 and 6. They are on sale here tonight. Contact Mrs. Grover at the front of the church after the service, and if you want a ticket for Mr. Benjamin, Saturday, June the 1st, she'll be able to supply you. I think they're having a seance at the back here. We have, this year, as always, had our Easter offering envelopes. Unfortunately, they were not put out last week, but if any of you feel you'd like to give a small donation to the church, there are special envelopes with Easter offering on them. If you feel you'd like to do that, there are some on the back. Before I conclude and ask the stewards to wait on you for your offering, I'm going to extend on behalf of the Executive Officers Committee of the Church a very, very warm welcome indeed for your support during this Easter time. For a lovely Easter tea, for a wonderful Good Friday service, and for coming along tonight, for the flowers and for everything. I just say in 2 words, a very, very sincere thank you. Thank you very much. Now will the stewards wait on you for your offering.
It's not often, friends, you know, that we get a whole week's notice that we're going to be necessary to inflict ourselves upon you. Usually we have a letdown for a speaker and we have to get up and start talking. But as we know that we shall be with you next week, I would like to say that on occasions when I'm in conversation with people, discussion would be the better word, people have said to me, you never say those things from the rostrum, you see. Well, through a lifetime of, I suppose, experience, study, one comes to conclusions very often which perhaps are not altogether apt to pronounce from a public rostrum as truth, because they may only be opinions, and there's a very big difference between the two things. So if you can stand it next week, I will give you some of my opinions as distinct from those things which I know to be true and leave you to work it out, as you have been warned. Shall we close our service by singing hymn number 331, the first verse and the last verse? Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, let me abide. But before we commence singing, may I draw the attention of good friends to that notice at the end of the church. If anyone is interested, in addition to those people who have kindly placed their names, it is being taken down tonight, and I would like to know quite definitely whether anyone is interested in the matters which are on that notice or not. Don't be afraid. If you're interested at all, just put your notice, your names down, and then we can see what can be done. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the first and the last verses.
Until we meet again. Amen.
Amen.